Thanks for joining us at the Business Growth Cafe, where each week we select from a menu of topics for a focused discussion with an industry expert to provide insights that can impact your business's growth. With your host, Angelo Ponzi.
I am Angelo Ponzi, your host here at the Business Growth Cafe, and thank you for joining me. Let's face it, not all companies and their problems are created equal. Identifying the insights and knowledge you need to define your brand and create a plan that helps you achieve your vision of success is essential. As you know, I'm a fractional chief marketing officer, and I dedicate my time to working with company management as an unbiased voice in developing details, competitive profiles, audience personas, defining market opportunities, brand realignment strategies, to integrated marketing communications plans to help you compete in an ever-changing market. Many businesses start with executing tactics first. That's the number one thing I get. Hello, I need a brochure, a website, a social media campaign, right? They want to get into producing the materials and generating leads without spending the time to know the dynamics of the market in which they're competing in and to think through the strategies to build an enduring brand. Now, I talk about this a lot, and today we're going to talk about what I recommend is the three pillars that I like to say to help you define your business growth. And there are insights, brand, and planning. And in that order, right, don't jump to plan if you don't have the insights. And I'm going to talk about what all these different things are. And I believe if you follow this order, you're going to become more strategic in achieving your business goals. These three pillars, I believe, are key to building an effective, efficient, strategic growth plan for your business. And so I'm going to spend my time today talking about this. Yes, you're right. You're going to have me as the interviewer and the guest. So I won't change my voice, so you're just going to have to listen real closely because I think this is going to be important. It's what I believe in wholeheartedly. In my entire career, I really focused on these three pillars. Now, insights. What the heck do I mean by insights? A lot of times I say it's market research. Now, whether it's determining the best combination of features for your customers that they're most interested in, understanding competitive strengths and weaknesses, product positioning, opportunity markets for expansion, new product development, buyer personas, customer journeys, or really any number of strategic issues and challenges, you need market insights. It's extremely important to understand what the voice of your customer is, what's happening in the marketplace, what your competitors are doing to help you define your strategies. Now, when I talk about strategies, I'm going to talk about brand strategies, right? Your messaging, your positioning, how you're going to compete, and I'm going to get into that to the next section. So I believe you need to start here. Now, before you start your process of gathering insights, I'm going to give you six key questions I want you to ask yourself to help you define your company's growth strategies. Now, these could be done from a qualitative standpoint, right? So interviews, focus groups, you know, conversations. When I was in the action sports industry, sometimes we'd go to a teen's house and just look at their closet, see the boards that they bought. When I worked in the restaurant industry, we'd literally get to become counter help so we could have conversation with customers to really understand what it was like. Or the flip side is that quantitative. Right? It's a statistical work, how we can do projections and use predictive analytics and understand when you hear somebody say 37% of your market says they've done some type of quantitative study that went out and did survey work and did segmentation work and gets all sorts of analytics to help project and understand the market in its entirety. Now, I do caution you, I've seen this happen. Somebody goes out, they talk to 10, 12, 20 customers or potential prospects in an interview format, and then they go back to the boardroom and say, 47% of the people I interviewed said. And they might have said it, but you can't project off of it. So be very careful in how you use qualitative versus quantitative. So question number one, I want you to ask yourself, why do your best customers choose your product or service over the competition? Think about that. Why do they choose you? Is it because of a customer experience? Is it because of your product? Is it because they love the salespeople? Right? There's a reason why they choose you and your product and your company versus someone else. You have to understand why. Because if you understand why in a particular vertical market, for example, you can use that in your messaging strategies. And this will become a lot clearer as I go through this. Who are your real competitors? Now, first of all, I don't care what anybody says in your organization, you have competitors. I've literally been in meetings and had my client or prospective client say, we don't have any competitors. Everybody follows us. We're the leaders. We're not competitive with anybody. And it doesn't work that way. You have a competitor. Somebody else is knocking on the door of your customers or your potential customers, just like you are, and they're telling a story. Believe me, you have competitors. So think about who your real competitors are. Is this across your entire market space? Are there different competitors within each one of your verticals that you might be serving? Is there different competitors based on your demographics or firmographics that you're targeting? So think about that then. Who are those real competitors? How do you target your customers? Question number three, how do you target your customers to see their greatest challenge? How do you know what their biggest challenge is? What's their pain point? You've heard this word 1,000 times. What is their pain point that you're trying to solve? What challenge do they have in the marketplace? Again, if you don't talk to them, if you don't survey them and have conversations with them, you don't know, you're guessing, right? We want to take the guesswork out of this section, this insights. Don't guess, right? Don't guess. Don't rely on nothing but input from your salespeople, because sometimes that gets biased, right? Because they're talking to you about how they feel and their impressions. You want to use people outside of your company to really gather this information. That's what I believe. Someone who's unbiased in getting that done. Question number four, what's the best way to market to your primary target audiences? How do they consume information? What's the hierarchy? If you're in the tech world and maybe you've got a software product and you need the IT department to test it, but who triggers that? Who is the person that says, let's investigate this product? Who's the person that evaluates that product? Who is the person that makes the final decision to buy? And who writes the check, right? So potentially you have multiple personas, people that you're targeting within a single organization to help sell your product and service. And you need to know who they are, right? So what's that hierarchy? And that's really important. That's going to help define customer journeys. It's going to help define what stage they're at. Is it an awareness? They're trying to find out information about your company versus they already have interest and you're considered and you're talking to them very differently. So you want to know the best way to reach them and what's of interest. A lot of times if you're talking to an older demographic, they might still like paper, like white papers and those kinds of things. But if you're talking maybe to a younger group, they want videos. So if you don't ask how they like to consume information, that you potentially are creating lots of content and trying to communicate to them in a way that, frankly, they're just not interested. Question five, what's the real benefit that your brand provides? Now, that's simple, right? It offers greater functionality, yada, 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 but that might not truly be what it does. Maybe there's a cachet to your brand, and just by integrating it into your solution, elevates their brand, right, if you're an OEM. So you have to understand then, what is the real benefit? What does it do for them? Again, this gives you insights on how to message and build your strategies down the road. And then how strong is your brand in the marketplace? Question number six, your brand health, your reputation. Now, in another podcast earlier last year, we talked, the whole podcast was about, is your brand healthy or not? And these are important questions because you might feel that you have a strong market share, that you have a great perception in the market, but do you really know how your brand is perceived? Now, I've done lots of research over the years, and my client will say, oh, yeah, you know, they know everything about us. They love us. And then I go out and do a little research and find out, well, they really don't know a lot about you. They might know about the product and service that you're selling them, but they don't really know much else about your company. Maybe they know the customer service people. And I always say, if they know the customer service people, they know them because they got problems. If they got problems, you got problems, right? So you need to understand that how strong is your brand in the marketplace? How healthy is it? How easily is it to get knocked off? I had a client in the software industry last year who kept saying, man, our clients love us. We've been around 30 years. And when I went out and talked to their customer base, I heard Well, we like, you know, Susie, when we call customer service, she's really great. And when I asked, what about management? They said, we haven't heard from them in a long time. And, you know, we really would like to hear. And then all sorts of other issues came out. Yet in the home office, right, in the mothership, they thought everything was fine and dandy because the checks were still rolling in and they were still a client. In the meantime, people had changed. Things were going on that potentially were going to cause them issues. And frankly, it did. So again, understanding how your brand is perceived in the marketplace is essential. So how do you do all that? It's like I said when I started, insights. Gathering those insights through the use of market research of some kind, some way. It doesn't have to be real formal. I call it sometimes grandmother research, or just sticking your toes in the water. Get outside of the boardroom, get outside of your office, and talk to customers and try to gather some information. Now, if you put together a survey, make sure that whoever is delivering those questions, if you're doing it homegrown, is the same one or two people, so you're eliminating bias, right? If you have five people doing surveys, talking to different customers, there's a built-in bias based on who we are as individuals. The way I might talk, the way you might talk. I wake up, I had a bad morning, I didn't get my coffee, maybe I'm a little irritable when I'm talking to the first customer. I'm going to influence how that conversation goes, right? So you want to be consistent in how you gather that information. Also, if you're using secondary research, it's really important that you understand the secondary research is something that was produced by somebody else, Gartner, or articles that you read. You know, Bob's really good research company creates some statistics and they get published in a magazine, and you're using them to build a strategy. Now, I always say when you use secondary research, you have to understand where it came from to make sure the methodology, was it a good methodology and a strategy, and how that data was collected and interpreted. Because what you don't want is Bob's really good research company putting out data that you're using only to find out, you know, that Bob didn't do a really good job. Right? So that's really important. So take the time to be more strategic up front. Don't be in a hurry to get the tactics going. Spend the time to really be more strategic in the information you should gather, because your campaigns and what you do down the road are going to be much more important. So gather those insights, help uncover those opportunities, challenges, issues, and obstacles to ensure your strategies and plans are based on the markets you serve. Now, on my website, I have a free ebook on establishing a competitive intelligence program that I put together that you can take a listen to, or you can read to help you put together a program internally to gather that information from a competitive standpoint. And if you follow those guidelines, you can really use it for other things too. So I encourage you to go to my website to find that, and it's under ebooks in my nav. Now, I said insights, brand, and planning, and let's move on to branding. Now, building an effective brand strategy continues to be one of the most difficult tasks facing companies, and I believe that. Without a doubt, it remains the most common misstep companies make. And they want to get right to the tactics, as I've said before, and skip those insights and strategy work because they want to get into the marketplace, start generating those leads. Now, many folks I speak to, when I talk about branding, they say, oh, yeah, we do branding. You know, here's our new visual layout and those kinds of things. And so sometimes branding tends to take on more of the visual cues, if you will, as opposed to the strategic. And that's where I play in, is I want to understand the strategic aspects of the brand, the positioning, how we're competitive, and then use that to interpret how visuals and how your creative executions might fly, not creative first and kind of shoehorn in the strategic. Right, so that's a difference. I talk to a lot of creative folks all the time, and when we talk about branding, they come from that standpoint, right? They go to the grocery store, they look at packaging on the wall, and that's how they get their visual kind of branding direction. I like to go in and talk to the customers, understand what the customers think about that packaging, what's the messaging, why did they pick that, what drove them into the store, number one, what drove them to pick this brand over another brand. Then those learnings can help shape the creative approach. And that's the way I like to look at it. I encourage you to look at it that way as well. So utilizing the market intelligence and the consumer insights then that we just gathered together, assessing the competitive environment, again, these steps to arrive at that brand strategy. And I believe that brand strategy needs to be concise, simple, direct, competitive, and above all, meaningful to your audience. If it doesn't mean and doesn't motivate and drive or change behaviors or attitudes, then what are we talking about, You just spent a lot of time. Now, years ago, I worked on a household cleaner. I won't mention their name. Biodegradable, non-toxic. And they used to be known more in the automotive world. And so we were taking it to the grocery world and went out and did some research and really found those communication points that we felt were going to motivate our customers to buy this biodegradable, non-toxic household cleaner over competitors. And we spent time gathering that information, but strategically, we missed something because we got so caught up on the attributes, the value propositions, we missed one very important thing, and it was price, right? Everybody wanted that safer product, but they didn't want to actually pay more for it. So again, in utilizing that and gathering the insights, in some cases, we don't ask the right questions. So again, think through your questions. I believe any question in a survey or anything you're asking needs to be actionable, needs to add value. Nice-to-know questions just are not important, right? So when you're thinking about their strategy then, how do you look at positioning, for example? How do you look at competitive stance? How do you separate yourself from those competitors? A couple of years ago, I worked on a project, and it was senior living homes. And this particular brand had about 23 locations, and they had about, I think it was like 20 competitors around the country. And we wanted to understand how someone made the decision to select their retirement home, if you will, versus another retirement home. So we started off by analyzing their websites first from a qualitative standpoint, and we were able to determine the words, the phrases that were being used by all the competitors, and we were able to decipher those down into what we felt were the antes and things that we had to have. And so we could utilize that in crafting messages. We knew what the competitors were doing, and now we could figure out a way to use those same words and phrases, if you will, but say it differently so we could differentiate ourselves from the competition. I worked for a tequila brand owned by a well-known rock star. You figure it out from there. And they wanted to understand the implications of this rock star onto the image of the brand, looking at brand reputation. And there were certain things that the brand was high-end, sold for a lot of money, and we wanted to understand, did the Rockstar, for example, have any implications in the brand strategy? So by digging down and understanding what he meant in comparative to the brand and what the brand cues were, we were able to decipher a way to develop our brand messaging to capitalize on this individual and understand where the issues were and address those from a strategic standpoint. So again, those insights that we gathered allowed us to be more strategic in our messaging and strategies. So there are many aspects in developing or repositioning your brand. So I want you to keep the following five questions in mind when you start thinking about branding. What perception do you want to own with your brand in the minds of your customers? Now, the only way to find that out is to ask them. You have a perception that you want to hold. The question is, do you hold it? And if you don't, then you need to figure out a way to change that perception. So that's very important to understand how you are perceived. Again, part of this is about reputation as well. Number two, what are the core values that guide your brand's behaviors? Now, this is important. Most companies have identified those core values, and it's important that you define them and you stick to them, right? If you're jumping around and you're being schizophrenic with your core values, the market's going to be confused as well. So you have to understand that your behaviors as a company, your behaviors as a brand, should be guiding everybody within your organization and how you communicate internally. And again, if you listen to this show, you know I talk about internal marketing as well as external marketing. What are your unique differentiators that help create and leverage your brand? Question number three. Now, that's really important because a lot of times if you sit down and start thinking about how you differentiate your brand from another, right? I'm going to say it. Here it comes. You've got to have insights. You have to know what's going on. So you need to do that insights, that research work up front in order to get to this point of branding and strategic work to help differentiate yourself. Now, there's a tool I use. It's called VRIO, which is valuable, rare, easy to imitate, and an operational organization. Now, this is a simple tool, and it forces organizations to really sit and think about how they truly differentiate themselves. But interestingly enough, a lot of the things I hear is, oh, we got great people. Oh, wait a minute, time out. Well, your competitors got great people, too. How do you define your great people versus their great people? Right. So when you think about that, we got to, you know, we were founded in 40 years ago. Well, they were founded 50 years ago. Does that make them better than you? Not necessarily. Right. So really think about what are those true differentiators? What's rare? Right. Is it something that you own, you have that is rare in the marketplace? But then you have to look at it. Is it easy to imitate? So you could have some really neat piece of software. Do you say nobody else has this is really, helping to disrupt the industry? Unfortunately, it's easy to imitate, and you could get knocked off really quick. So how long do you have that competitive advantage? So these are all strategic issues you need to be thinking about when you're developing your brand. Do you have a strong point of view and clearly stand for something? A lot of times, surprisingly enough, brands put so many different messages out there, they don't really stand for any one particular thing. I'm sure you've experienced it before. It's brand confusion in the marketplace. You just don't understand really what their organization stands for, what their brands or their products and services are really delivering. So again, asking yourself this question, do you have a strong point of view and clearly stand for something? And if you say no, then this is something you need to work on. And the question number five is, what is your brand promise? What is that promise of your brand? What are you going to deliver and be strategic about? Now, and remember to consider all market influences when defining your positioning, your values, your overall strategy, and ultimately your messaging. Now, for branding, on my website, I have a free ebook on storytelling that you can use as input to help guide in the way you communicate your brand story into the marketplace. Now, the last section is planning. Now, your strategic plans are essential to managing your business growth. Spend time developing a cohesive roadmap to follow and to ensure that your entire team is moving in the right direction. I talk a lot about alignment, a lot about brand alignment. So many times, the first thing we do, we start talking to all the stakeholders. Why? I need to make sure the whole team is on the same page. If everybody's running a different play in your playbook, you've got a problem. So we need to get everybody back on the same page. So that is one of the first things you need to do when you start thinking about your plans. Now, these plans should take the insights and the brand strategy work that we've just done and we've just talked about to help you achieve your long-term business and growth strategies, as well as keep you competitive. These are actionable plans and should include the details to achieve your growth, including your tactical implementations. I said it, tactical implementations. You're not implementing yet, but you're planning it, right? Timelines, budgets, KPIs for success, et cetera, et cetera. So developing your plan is a team sport. Make sure you include all your stakeholders from each of your strategic departments, because everybody in the company is impacted whether you are successful or if your plans fail. Right? So here's six key questions I want you to ask yourself when you think about planning. Do you have a clear understanding about what you're trying to achieve? Number two, what does your brand stand for in the eyes of your customers? Three, why do your customers buy from you? Right? We asked a similar question earlier, but why do they buy? What's your competition doing? What are they doing in the marketplace that they're doing to differentiate themselves from your brand? What is your approach to sales? Where are your opportunities for revenue? Is it in existing markets? Is it with existing products? Can you expand within the existing markets you're doing? Or for growth, do you need to move into new markets, maybe look at acquisition and things like that? And then ultimately, how can you differentiate yourself? So when you're developing your plans, you need to keep these six questions in mind as you're developing your strategic plans. Now, as I said when I started this conversation, many businesses start with executing tactics. Producing materials to generate leads without spending the time to get to know the dynamics in the market in which they're competing and to think through the strategies and to build an enduring brand. I recommend you start by focusing on the three areas I've been talking about: insights, brand, and plan, and in that order, right, to become more strategic and start achieving your business goals. These are the three pillars that I believe are key to building an effective, efficient, and strategic growth plan for your business. I hope after listening to this podcast, I've encouraged you to think about your approach to building your strategic plans and maybe sparked your thinking about the value of these three pillars. I want to thank you for joining me at the cafe today. You can find out more about me, read my blogs, view my show videos, or sign up to receive more information at theponzigroup.com, or certainly connect with me on LinkedIn. And you can certainly visit my website to hear these videos on these subjects and many, many more. And if your business is ready for growth and you need a CMO, but you're not quite ready for a full-time person yet, connect with me. I'd welcome the opportunity to explore the benefits of using a fractional CMO. And lastly, please subscribe to this show. And if you're already a subscriber, I encourage you to think about others who would enjoy and benefit from this content today, as well as content from the other shows. You can find out more about that at the Business Growth Cafe or on my website, theponzigroup.com, or you can subscribe to any major podcast platform to get this content. Thank you again, and join me next week for lunch at the Business Growth Cafe.
Thank you for listening to today's discussion at the Business Growth Cafe with your host, Angelo Ponzi. Take a moment to subscribe to this podcast and visit our website at www.businessgrowthcafe.com. Read Angelo Ponzi's blogs at www.theponzigroup.com.